Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to De La Rue's interim results meeting. A particular welcome to our new Chief Executive, Martin Sutherland, on his first results meeting. After a few brief words with me, the presentation will be taken over by Martin and Colin, and obviously we'll all be available for questions subsequently. What I thought I'd do is just to give you a brief view as to, well, why did we choose Martin? What was it about Martin which attracted De La Rue to him? You're all aware that over the last 3 years, we have taken out a significant amount of cost and significantly improved the efficiencies of De La Rue. So our operations are slicker and better. We were very keen in looking for our new chief executive to find somebody who had significant commercial rather than operational experience. We wanted somebody who had run a business with customers similar to those of De La Rue, and Martin has. And we wanted somebody who was very familiar with technology, both digital, where some of our businesses face digital threats and opportunities, and somebody who also knew the value of R&D, who would be able to help drive our R&D effort to achieve the successes we're determined to have. Above all, though, what we wanted was somebody who had, rightly, a name and a reputation as a top-quality manager. And in Martin, I believe we have that. At that point, I'll now hand over to Martin.
Thank you, Philip. So good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for taking time out to come and see us this morning. What I'd like to do is just take you through the running order of the morning, which is to introduce myself and give you some of my background, let you know why I joined De La Rue, share my initial impressions. I joined the business on the 13th of October, so I can give you my first impressions that I formed over the last 6 weeks. And then I'm actually going to ask Colin to do the meat of the work this morning. So he's going to take us through the operational performance of the business over the last 6 months. And then I'm going to come back just at the end to give you a quick wrap-up and some thoughts about what I might be planning on doing next. So in terms of my background then, I've just joined from BAE Systems, where I ran the Applied Intelligence division, formerly known as Detica. I took over as the MD of that business when Detica was acquired by BAE Systems in 2008. I've actually been with Detica for 18 years in total when I left, and I've spent 25 years in the IT industry, previously with Andersen Consulting, now known as Accenture, and BT, who are also in the news today, interestingly. From 2008 until today, we doubled the size of the Applied Intelligence division within BAE Systems through strong organic growth and through a number of acquisitions. We diversified the business away from being very much UK-centric to tackling international markets through taking new products to market in the international domain. Those products being focused on counter-fraud solutions and cybersecurity solutions and national security solutions. So my heritage really is to try and build long-term trusted relationships with governments. Certainly have a strong track record of doing that here in the UK. And over the last 6 years within BAE Systems, we established very successful long-term relationships with many governments around the world and also the financial services sector. So that business now employs about 3,000 people in 26 offices around the world, has revenues well over £300 million, and has healthy profits. So you might ask, why did I join De La Rue? Well, obviously, I did a little bit of research before I joined the company, and what I found was a business which has many, many fundamental strengths. Clearly, it's the market leader. It's the biggest commercial supplier in its chosen markets, which are markets which have very high barriers to entry. It's got a brand and a reputation and a set of long-term customer relationships, which many other businesses would be very envious of. We're keen to have the same position. It's got a history of product innovation and indeed bringing many products to market well ahead of the competition. And even though we're currently experiencing quite difficult trading and market conditions, it's proven over long periods of time to be a very cash generative and profitable business. So that was what I thought before I joined De La Rue. And having joined and having been here for 6 weeks, what have I found? Well, I'm pleased to say that all of those fundamental strengths have been reinforced in my mind. I've toured many of the facilities. I've met with many customers. I've really immersed myself in the business, met the management teams, trying to really understand the dynamics of the business and the market and what makes the whole thing tick. And as I say, my first impressions are very much that it's reinforced the views I had before I joined the business. And whilst I've said a moment ago, we are suffering from quite difficult market conditions right now, almost the most pleasing thing I've found is that there is a culture within the organisation of continuous improvement and a drive to try and take the business forward from within the management and from the broader staff. So I think that gives us a very strong base with which to take the business forward over the coming months and years. So I'll hand over now to... I forgot to advance the slides. Those are the things I've just said. I'll hand over to Colin to take us through operational performance for the first half of the year. Colin.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone, and good morning also to those listening on the and following this on the webcast, and a particularly good morning to our colleagues around probably around the globe, because I think we've got a number of sites listening, getting together and listening to this on the webcast, so I give them a warm welcome. And if you'll forgive me, a slightly less warm welcome to our competitors in Germany, France and America, who I know do listen in to this. But we're trying not to share too much interesting information with them, but try and help analysts and investors. So I'm going to take you through the numbers and then go into a little bit more detail and colour, hopefully, on some of the business units, as well as looking out at the future a little bit. So no great surprise in the numbers, and very much in line with our original expectations as we went into the year and the guidance we gave back in May when we stood up and did the full year numbers. And I should stress straight away here that nothing we say or share with you today is at odds with what we said a few weeks ago in the trading statement. Clearly, since the year end, we have updated the market in terms of the outlook for the rest of this year, and indeed given some guidance in terms of market conditions and impact for next year. And nothing that we're saying today is at odds with that, so we're not changing anything or moving things around. So if you do try and read anything into any little nuance, please pinch yourself and stop doing that and concentrate on what's in front of you, because we're very much sticking with the guidance we've given. So overall, a satisfactory operating profit in the first half. I'll come back to the bridge between last year and this year on the next slide. But some housekeeping things on this slide that I'll just point out. Tax rate in the first half was about 19.3%, down a little bit from last year. John Witchell, who's here, looks after tax, keeps telling me what a great job he's doing in terms of driving that down. I think the UK government has quite a bit to do with it, and I don't think he influences them. But so we've got some housekeeping still to do in that to drive it down a little bit further, but actually now subject to any underlying change in corporate rates from governments in the countries that we trade in, that's going to be fine-tuning. You can see at the bottom of the slide there, exceptional items. We had two major charges in the first half, totaling £2.5 million. One was in respect of a site we commenced the closure of in Dulles, just outside Washington in the States. And the other was in respect of the reorganisation of the CPS business that we flagged up that we were embarking on at the start of the year. Now, in respect to the rest of the year, we've provided for everything we can provide for so far, but there will be a further £3 million or so in respect of those two issues as we complete those exercises in the second half of the year. But in terms of payback, particularly in respect of the closure of the Dulles operation, so it's Dulles rather than Dallas where we make the sorting machines, we expect a payback of a little bit over 2 years. So financially, quite an attractive thing for us to do. It's sad for the individuals involved, of course. Looking at the charts on the right-hand side of the screen there, you can see volumes very similar to last year, the corresponding period. So print volumes up a little bit, paper down a little bit. Yes, of course, we would have liked to have done more, but actually the results are not reflecting the volumes. It's much more the price and mix within those volumes. Middle graph, you could see the dividend. We indicated back in September when we gave the trading update that we were expecting to announce a dividend of 8.3p today, so clearly we've done that and confirmed that this morning. The board is super sensitive and very, very mindful of how important the dividend is to our shareholders and the signals we set, but actually, when we stood back and looked at the current trading position we find ourselves in and the outlook for next year, we concluded that the prudent thing to do was to realign the dividend with the underlying performance of the business. But we hope to, as things improve, redress that and get that back to where we would like it to be, and I'm sure all of our shareholders would like it to be. The group's 12-month order book, so that is just the orders that we've got that for fulfilment within the next 12 months. So we do have orders that go out beyond that. They're not included in that. But it's pretty similar to last year. It's up a little bit from the year end. Should actually be higher. This is not a volume issue again. The financial value of some of those orders is lower than it ordinarily would have been expected to be. But it's actually a pretty good order book. So if I look at the bridge on the right-hand side of the screen here, you can see the movement from 38 million in the first half of last year to the 27 million that we've reported this morning. You can see the first four columns of the bridge there really reflect the underlying movement in terms of pricing and volumes within the individual businesses. So just moving quickly through those, currency is very much a pricing story. As I've just said, volumes very similar, so it's actually pricing and mix there has reduced the contribution. Within IDS, it's a bit of both. Its volumes are a little bit lower, certainly lower than we'd been expecting, but actually last year's numbers were flattered a little bit, as we mentioned at the year end. I'll come back to that a little later on. But you can see on the right-hand side there the upward movements. Firstly, an improvement within CPS as the reorganisation there is starting to have an effect and a positive movement of reducing losses there. But also we've had some benefit from lower cotton prices, throwing in about £2 million of benefit, and the continuous improvement. So the ongoing exercise that we've got, even though the improvement plan is well and truly finished, but the ongoing exercise and focus on process improvement, reducing procurement costs, and just being more efficient at what we do has yielded further benefits. And then finally we had a raft of other overheads, which we decided wasn't really appropriate to include those in continuous improvement, but just where we've made overhead savings around the group of about £3 million in the first half. Clicker's not working now. There we go, sorry. So what does that mean for cash flow? You can see there three or four lines down the underlying operating cash flow, £25 million, well down on last year. So in large part, that's driven by the lower operating profit, so that's inevitable. But the other big movement we've had in the first half has been in working capital. And within working capital, that's been entirely driven by an increase in the level of stocks or inventories that we hold, and specifically work in progress. So this relates mainly to the paper that we, the banknote paper that we produce. We had some spare capacity in the first half, and we decided to bring forward production from the second half of paper into the first half to free up that capacity in the second half to allow us to sell some of that that surplus capacity. Clearly, if we hadn't done that, once you get through that that period in the first half, you can't go back and remake paper. It's gone forever. So that was a conscious decision, and we expect that that working capital position to unwind in the second half as that work in progress is used and consumed as orders are fulfilled in the second half of the year. You can see there that we've spent £13 million on CapEx. We're expecting that number for the full year in terms of cash cost. Always a bit of a lag between the cash cost of our CapEx and the orders and commitments that we've placed. But we expect that number to be £35 million for the year as a whole. And I'll just remind you, we've invested heavily over the past 4 years or so. I think we've made commitments and spent in the region of £150 million investing in the business. So the business is pretty well invested now. Special pension fund contributions, this is my favourite. This is where we straddle the payment of the additional payment that we make to the pension scheme around the year end. So we make it a little bit just before the year end, and immediately the day after the year end, or 2 days actually, because the year end is a Saturday, so on the following Monday we'll make another payment, and we get some modest tax benefit from doing that. So that actually is the final bit for last year, so there'll be a similar number in March next year when we do the same exercise. On the right-hand side there, you can see bottom right, net debt at the half-year and £127 million, so up from the year-end. largely driven by the payments that we've made, as you can see from the cash outflows there, but also the working capital that we've invested in the first half. As I say, that will unwind. The expectation at the moment is that year-end debt will be in the region of £105 to £110 million. And I know we've got a few bankers in the room, so just to put your mind at rest, we still have stacks of headroom on the covenants. I think interest cover for the past 12 months has been about 16 times. So if that's any comfort to you, we're well covered there. So if I may, I'll move on now to some of the underlying operational aspects of the past 6 months. So within the currency business, yes, you know, we're still facing the same headwinds that we were facing a little while ago, and that we flagged up over the past probably 12 to 18 months in terms of the overcapacity in the industry. The encouraging thing is, and I'll come back to this on a slide in a moment, the underlying growth in demand for banknotes around the world continues to grow at around 3 to 4%. There are more notes in circulation around the world than ever before. And if you go into any of the banks' websites, the central banks' websites, you often see their statistics in terms of how many notes they're putting into circulation, and you will see year on year they are all growing. But there is still some overcapacity in the paper market, and manifestly we're still experiencing quite a bit of pricing pressure, both in paper and print. As you know, during the past 6 months, we were really very, very pleased to retain the Bank of England contract, this massively important contract for us. It says a lot about us as a business. We put forward a really compelling proposal to the bank, and were delighted when they embraced that and selected us. So very important, high-profile contract for us to retain. We've made some progress in terms of the security components side of the business. If you remember, we've talked about this in the past in terms of trying to sell more of these components into the state sector, so into state paper mills and state print works. So made some progress there. Still a lot more to go at, we believe, over the next few years, but an encouraging bit of progress there. But as I say, margins in paper and print are still under pressure and have come down. So what have we been doing in the first half? Well, we've been working quite hard, actually, not just on continuous improvement and trying to be more efficient. We've tried to be much more tactical in terms of pricing. We're not in a price war situation. But what we are trying to do is be responsible, take a measured approach to pricing. So we're looking at each tender when they come out to us on a very commercial, sensible, I think, basis in terms of just working out how that fits with our production capabilities and capacities, and trying to exploit any gaps in production spare capacity that we've got. But we're not being reckless on pricing, but we will price to win where we see a real advantage and importance for us to do that. We've mothballed some surplus capacity. Now, don't want to overstate this, so this is not wholesale reduction of in our overall capacities, but where we've got some surplus idle machines, we've actually chosen to completely mothball and try and save a little bit of costs. And we continue to make good progress on our polymer product. If you remember, we launched it about 2 years or so ago. We've now got 8 customers signed up and notes either about to come into circulation or in circulation. I think Gambia announced just last week that their polymer note based on our substrate was going into circulation soon, so that's a public one. But the other encouraging thing in the first half is that we've had a number of successful trials with major users of polymer substrate that they're buying from elsewhere, from the other company that produces polymer. So we've supplied those potential customers with quantities of our substrate so they can do some trials, and we've successfully passed those so that we and they now know our polymer will work through their processes. So it's an easy thing for me to say now, but over to the new chief executive to turn those good trials into good orders. So no pressure there, Martin, but that would be really, really good. So some familiar slide detail on this slide in terms of market share. This hasn't actually changed very much. So our market share in both paper and print has remained pretty stable in the last 6 months. So that's quite encouraging. It hasn't been a whole lot of movement, quite a bit of jockeying around, but not a particular movement in either print or in paper. You can see there we've updated the numbers in terms of the annual issuance of global issuance of notes. We believe on our estimates now about 163 billion notes per year. And you can see our estimates haven't changed since the year end of the next few years. But it's quite interesting, just the growing number of notes in circulation. And we still expect that to be around 3-4%. But inevitably, there are some that are quite a bit higher, some of the more mature economies, slightly slower rate of growth. But one of the things we're very fortunate with, as I think many of you are aware, we do have quite a good exposure at De La Rue to the more developing economies around the world. And some of those are growing at a much faster rate as their economic activity increases. And just as perhaps as a little bit of an aside, and you'll see the relevance of this, I hope, but the Reserve Bank of India actually published some statistics a few months ago in terms of their issuance. Over the past 10 years, the number of notes they've issued each year has grown by a compound rate of 7%, reflecting the huge growth they've experienced in their underlying economic activity. But they also, really interestingly, put a forecast out as to what the number of notes they would need in 2018 would be. And they're forecasting a need, their printing capability capacity is, I think, a little bit below this at the moment, but their needs are for 30 billion notes, new notes to be issued in 2018, compared with a requirement at the moment for the year just ended of about 25 billion. So they are anticipating that rate of growth to continue. Now, the link, and perhaps the reason for mentioning it, is that I think most of you know that India is bringing on stream its own paper-making capacity, but certainly on our estimates and our assessment, they will not be able to make enough paper to meet all of their own demand within country. So it looks like they will continue to be a major customer, all being well, of the commercial sector, which is encouraging. So some more slides on or charts on currency. Top left-hand side there, you can see over the past 6 months or so, the top green line there, the decline in orders received in terms of the revenue, the average 6 month average revenue decline there. No particular surprise there. What has been perhaps slightly more encouraging has been the profitability line. Although it's not flat and hasn't remained stable and wobbled around a little bit and has declined without doubt, it's much flatter than the decline in revenue. And that reflects two things. Firstly, there's a bit of mix, a mix effect there in there, but also I think the benefit of the efficiency gains and the cost reductions that we've achieved in recent years is really starting to reflect there. And that number would have been, that line would have been lower if we hadn't actually been successful in going down that program or pursuing that program over the last few years and carrying on with it. You can see their currency order book is well up from the year end. It's about 11% up on the year end position. The solutions order book isn't quite as strong as that. It's gone back a little bit since the year end for other reasons, but currency still a pretty good order book to say the least. And the overspill, bottom left-hand side there, that chart has changed quite a bit since the year end. We were predicting an overspill about half that level when we went into the year, but since then we've become aware from discussions with customers that there are some large, very large, in fact, tender orders coming through for overspill work over the next few months. So our estimates of that has more than doubled from where we were at the half year. Now, that's not to say we're going to win all of that business by a long chalk, but actually we're going to be pretty active in that marketplace, and we will do our best to win our fair share of that. So moving on to the three solutions businesses, before I start go through IDS, I would just make a couple of general points. You'll see on each of these slides, so I won't repeat it each time, that continuous improvement has been a factor across all of these businesses, as well as in currency. The other thing that's happened in the first half, we announced, if you remember, back in May when we did the full year results, that we had restructured the CPS management team to provide a far greater focus within that business as we sought to turn it around from a loss-making to the target of break-even for this year. But actually, we've streamlined the other two solutions businesses as well to provide a greater degree of focus for the management team. So that will feature on each of these next two or three slides, so I won't necessarily repeat those points. So Identity Systems, it's been an interesting half. It's been disappointing in terms of the new business wins. That's been much, much lower. Wouldn't necessarily have affected these numbers particularly, because obviously there were wins that would have affected the second half and next year. But there's been a much slower than expected number of tenders or lower level of tenders for new business in the first half than we were expecting, as a number of those have either been delayed or have just simply been rolled over with the incumbent supplier, where a potential customer has actually, despite saying they were going to come out to tender, has chosen to roll over for perhaps a year, maybe 3 years, with their incumbent. So that's been a bit disappointing. Certainly the move to e-passports, away from machine-readable passports, it's still happening, but it's slightly slower than we would have liked. And, of course, we like e-passports. They're higher margin, they're more sophisticated passports, so they're higher margin product for us. So that's been a bit disappointing, to say the least, in the first half. The other thing I should just point out in terms of the financial results, you'll remember that last year's numbers were flattered. We had an unusually high number of contracts completing last year. And just because of the cautious way we account for some of these longer-term contracts within IDS, there was a release of extra profits last year. That hasn't been repeated. So these numbers were always going to be lower. I think we said it was about £3.5 million impact last year from those extra releases on those completing contracts. But these numbers were always going to be a bit lower, but they're certainly a bit lower than we would have liked when we look at the year as a whole. So I've mentioned management structure and so on. We continue to focus on the higher end. Happiness for us is where we're talking to customers about the entire package. So not only producing the book, but actually the personalization and all the systems and software that we wrap around that in terms of the full service that we provide for them. And indeed, we're trying to develop that further. So we're upgrading a number of our software systems at the moment to try and pursue that still further. But we still believe this is a high-growth, interesting area. If you just think about border control and security, as Martin was mentioning earlier, really important for governments around the world. On security products, had a perfectly reasonable first half. Actually, yes, the numbers are down a little bit, but this is quite a mature business in terms of what it does. So think about checkbooks, traveller's checks, postage stamps, labels, quite mature products in general decline, but we're managing that reasonably well. What has been a little bit disappointing here is just, again, the take-up and the implementation of some of our tax stamp schemes, which we label government revenue solutions now, has been slower than we would have liked. Again, I think we're still confident that the outlook is still actually pretty good for that, but the progress that we've made in the first half has been a bit slower than we would have liked. This is where we've the site rationalisation and reduction in the footprint, operational footprint for the group has taken place. So our facility in Dulles, just outside Washington, as I said, we've commenced a closure of that, expect to have that done largely by the year end. And those activities have been absorbed and accommodated now in our other existing sites. CPS, Dean's here, he's running CPS now, had a very busy first half, doing a lot of work right-sizing that business and getting the losses down. So some really good progress there and some good, fresh way of thinking in terms of some of the things that we do within that business. But there's still a lot of work to be done. But we remain on track for delivering a break-even position by the year-end. But this market, yes, we're a relatively small participant in this market, but it's still quite attractive. The central banks want more sophisticated machines, faster, more efficient machines. They certainly want better software and systems for their vault management, and we're able to help them with that. So I think we're making good progress there, but we obviously won't be satisfied with a break-even position going forwards. You've heard us over the past few presentations, over the past 12 to 18 months or so, talk about continuous improvement a lot. This really is firmly established within Delarue. So we continue to make procurement savings. We continue to put our suppliers under pressure to reduce their costs and improve the quality of their products. What we call cost of quality, we're driving that down. So what do we mean by that? So we're reducing waste. We're being more efficient and just reducing, as I say, that cost of quality within the business, which in itself frees up additional capacity as and when we need it, particularly in the printing side of the business. And this almost sounds like a bit of housekeeping, actually. Does it suggest that we weren't looking after our assets before we started this little program of asset care? Well, yes, of course we were, but actually we've taken it to a whole new level, because reducing the number of unplanned stoppages on our machines, particularly when you think of the big papermaking machines, can save us a huge amount of money. It's very costly for us when those machines stop on an unexpected basis. So we've made some real progress there, which is yielding some significant savings. So that's all good. I've talked about site rationalisation and the ongoing investment and mentioned the numbers, but we are now reasonably well invested. We continue to invest in R&D, though, and I think we've got a really attractive pipeline of new products ahead of us, so that's encouraging. But we're not going to take our foot off the gas. We want to keep that momentum going. So we've got a steady stream over the next few years of new products that we can bring to the market. We've installed, I think we flagged this up at the year end, a new micro-optics machine. This is, I won't say too much about this, just in case any of our competitors are taking notes, but this is a fantastic new machine, and we think will actually leapfrog the capabilities that our competitors have. So we're very excited about what that machine will actually do. So this is a machine that helps us with the security components that we produce. So we've got great hopes for that over the next few years as we develop more products there. So finally for me, before I hand back to Martin, the outlook, absolutely as we said back in September, the expectation for this year is our operating profit will be down approximately £20 million on the year before. We've talked about the continuous improvement programme. That will just carry on year after year and year after year. There's not any reason why that shouldn't stop as we pursue, if you remember, the mantra of low cost, high quality, quick to respond supply. If we can get those three features, we will be in a very strong position in this marketplace. But, as you know, the market conditions remain challenging in the short term, but we do still firmly believe that the medium to long-term opportunities for all of our activities that we're embracing at the moment are actually pretty attractive. So, Martin.
Thank you, Colin. I thought you were going to disappear out the exit at one point. So, as we've heard from...
Was that a hint?
No, not at all. So, as we've heard from Colin, there's quite a lot going on. We are operating in difficult market conditions. I think it's worth maybe just standing back for a minute and thinking about the fundamentals of the market that we operate in and just thinking about that for a moment or two. So in our currency business, we're basically in a countering the counterfeiter business. We're in the business of trying to ensure the integrity of national currencies. That feels like an interesting market for us to be in, and one that's not going to decline or go away. In identity, we're in the business of validating citizens' identity. That's in a world where people are moving around the world more and more. It's where the world is not becoming a safer place. So ensuring the integrity of people that are crossing national boundaries, to me, again, feels like long-term. It should be a business which has potential in it. And then tax stamps is about countering illicit trade. Again, that feels to me like a market with long-term growth potential. So I think this is a business which has exposure to some really quite interesting markets. And back to my earlier point, having joined the business, frankly, I'm really pleased to confirm that the fundamental strengths of the business, which I had before I joined, are definitely here. And most importantly, that the staff and the management have a real sense of urgency to drive this business forward. It's not complacent, and it's a very resilient business over a long period of time. So what's my focus going to be moving forward? Well, the first thing I'm going to do is to continue to immerse myself in the business. I want to meet more staff, more customers, both here and very much overseas. I've not had a chance to travel overseas yet, but clearly that's where the majority of where our customers are, and develop a much deeper and richer understanding of the business. Secondly, I want to ensure we maintain momentum. We've got a number of short-term actions which are in play within the business, and we don't intend to stop pushing forward with those. Driving up profitability in our solutions business. We talked about returning CPS to at least a break-even position in the year. We're going to continue to focus on that. Maintaining our currency market share, we will do that. We don't want to enter into a price war, but we do want to make sure that we maintain our market share in that very important market for us. And then our polymer product, our new substrate called Safeguard. Again, as Colin said, we've got a number of existing customers. We've got a number of customers who are trialling that product. We want to continue to push that particular product forward in the market. And then thirdly, and maybe most importantly for me, is I'd like to review, or I will be reviewing, the strategy of the business. I'll get the first punch in here. Don't ask me too many questions about strategy today. I've been in the business for 6 weeks, and I don't really have any intentions of giving you too much colour on strategy today. But what I will do is promise that when I get back to meet with you all again in May next year at the full year results, I'll give you a lot more colour on what I think the strategic direction of the business should be.